Translation in his purport by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The beautiful personality of Godhead addressed Lord Brahma. O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance, with the desire for creation. Hardly am I pleased with the pseudo-mystics. Purport. There are two kinds of penance, one for sense gratification and the other for self-realization. There are many pseudo-mystics who undergo severe penances for their own satisfaction, and there are others who undergo severe penances for the satisfaction of the senses of the Lord. For example, the penances undertaken to discover nuclear weapons will never satisfy the Lord, because such a penance is never satisfactory. By nature's own way, everyone has to meet death. And if such a process of death is accelerated by anyone's penances, there is no satisfaction for the Lord. The Lord wants every one of his parts and parcels to attain eternal life and bliss by coming home to Godhead. And the whole material creation is meant for that objective. Brahma underwent severe penances for that purpose, namely to regulate the process of creation so that the Lord might be satisfied. Therefore, the Lord was very much pleased with him, and for this Brahma was impregnated with Vedic knowledge. The ultimate purpose of the Vedic knowledge is to know the Lord and not to misuse the knowledge for any other purposes. Those who do not utilize Vedic knowledge for that purpose are known as Kuta Yogis, or pseudo-transcendentalists, who spoil their lives with ulterior motives. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lata Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Pandu Jagatpate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Kodangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarunvyascha Yupasindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Putale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nivirshesha Shunyavadi Pastyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I feel very humbled to be speaking in front of so many senior Vaishnavas, Atul Krishna who is here, Paramakruna and so many others. But hopefully, by your blessings, I can say something of use. And we can discuss this purport from Srila Prabhupada. This is a very nice verse, and it's, like I said, the final, or the response of Krishna. Brahma's been praying to Krishna, and finally Krishna responds. And he says that he's pleased with him through his austerity. So we're going to look at this penance, or this austerity that's talked about in this verse. And see what it means for us, the different types of austerity in and out of Krishna consciousness. So that's going to be the main focus for this class. I hope it's not too austere. So there's austerities for different purposes. In the material world, we see that people are going through so much austerity. Prabhupada talks about the austerity of the pseudo yogis, but practically everyone in the material world is doing huge amounts of austerity for their goals, whatever they have. So you see someone wants to be very successful, they're doing years and years of training, and they're working long days, late nights, all for money and sense gratification. You see other examples, like athletes are a good example. Their lives are so austere, you know, they practically 24 hours a day is regulated, what they eat is measured, what they do, you know, most of them, they're celibate, they have like a super austere life. But why? What's the reason behind it? It's because they want to spend 2 minutes on a podium. It's for sense gratification, ultimately. But it's a super intense life. And again, Prabhupada in the Purport also talks about nuclear weapons and how people are doing so much austerities to create weapons. It's also crazy, you know, that when you live in a society that has more weapons, enough to destroy the population a few times over, then you know it's a crazy world. So this kind of austerity is happening in all these material spheres. Everything requires penance. And some people may say that some people are born into good families, they're born into wealth, they're born into an easy life, but that came from penance in the past, as we understand from the scriptures. It means that they did something before to attain that position. So practically everything requires this penance. And sometimes we think when we come to Krishna consciousness or spiritual life that now that's the end of my penance. I'm spiritual now, I just go with the flow, take an easy life. But Prabhupada is pointing out that we need also penance, and Brahma had this penance to please the Lord, and we should also develop that mood to accept these austerities and penances to please the Lord. A few verses ahead in the purport, Prabhupada says that, a very famous statement from Prabhupada, he says, an easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization do not go together. So, as spiritualists, as devotees, we shouldn't also expect an easygoing life. It's going to be austere to some extent. And human life is meant for that. Prabhupada would often say, human life is meant for austerity. It's meant for self-realization. And we don't like to hear that because we want to escape austerity, and sometimes we come to spiritual life to escape austerity, the austerity of the material world. But when we hear that there's also going to be austerity involved in spiritual life, then it can be difficult. And even within the realm of self-realization, there's different types of austerity, and the Bhagavad Gita Krishna talks quite extensively about austerity. In the 17th chapter, there's a series of verses. He talks about austerity in different modes. So I'll just read these verses so we can get an idea of the different austerities in different modes. So this is text 14 in chapter 17 of the Bhagavad Gita, and there's about 5 or 6 verses. So in text 14, Krishna says, austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. So this is Krishna's prescription for austerities of the body. Worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, and these other points. Text 15, Krishna says, austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting the Vedic literature. Text 16, Krishna says, and satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. And there's an interesting point that Prabhupada makes in the purport. He says that to make the mind austere means to detach it from sense gratification. The mind should be trained that we can always be thinking of doing good to others. So that was a nice point, that the way to train the mind away from sense gratification is to train it to always be thinking how we can serve others. So a really nice point from Prabhupada. And to really imbibe that in our lives is difficult. You know, there's this famous, pretty much all religions have this, do unto others as you'll do unto yourself, or treat the neighbor as yourself. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I was hearing from him the other day, he said that actually in Krishna consciousness, we want to do more for others than we do for ourselves. We actually want to take that another level up. We want to serve the devotees and serve others more than we would serve ourselves. So we should meditate on making arrangements for people better than we'd make arrangements for ourselves. I mean, for myself and many of us, maybe we're expert at making arrangements for ourselves, for our own comfort, for different things, but actually, if we can meditate on making those kind of arrangements or better for other people, then that really trains the mind away from this sense gratification. So I thought that was a nice point from Prabhupada. And then in text 17, Krishna says, "This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith, by men not expecting material benefits but engaging only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness." Text 18. "Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor, and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. And penance performed out of foolishness with self-torture," so this is text 19, "penance performed out of foolishness with self-torture or to destroy or injure others is said to be in the mode of ignorance." Yes, so these verses are describing penance in the different modes, ignorance, passion, and goodness. And we see majority of people are performing penances in these last two modes, in ignorance, for their own enjoyment, for their own satisfaction, or in passion, that they want something out of it, they want material gain in return. And even the Vedas are very much in passion. And Narad Muni actually chastised Vyasadeva for this. He said that Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas for he tried to write the Vedas for a wide selection of people with all kinds of goals, and he gave different means, different austerities to achieve those goals. But basically the message behind it was that it was a religious license for sense gratification. So people became confused, and Narada Muni came to tell him that you've given people this license for sense gratification under a religious guise, which is really bad. So he said, you need to write one literature with one goal and one process, Krishna. But here in this verse, the verse that we're discussing, it's not talking about austerity or religious processes in different modes. It's talking about this divine austerity. Tapo Divyam, and this is famous verse by Rishabdev to his sons, he talks about what real austerity is. So he says, "Nayam deho deho bhagavan nirloke, kastan karmam arhate vidbujam ye, tapo divram putraka yena sattvam, shudyed yasmad brahma sokam tvanantam." So the translation, Rishabdev says, "My dear boys, all of the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever." So he's saying that one should engage in penance to attain Krishna consciousness, to attain devotional service. That's the real meaning of penance. This is tapo divyam, this divine austerity. Leads to devotional service and our eternal identity. That's what this verse is saying. And this is the definition of penance or austerity for a devotee. It means that anything that's leading us to Krishna and this understanding of who we are in devotional service is tapasya for the devotee. And it's the basis of spiritual life. There's so many verses across all of the scriptures that talk about this level of penance or self-control. We have Vachuvegam, Manasakrodavegam, and so many other verses that speak about these controlling or engaging in this penance and this austerity, but with a focus to attain the Lord. And controlling the mind is the basis of Krishna consciousness. It's the starting point to allow us to meditate and focus on Krishna. But it's important that we know the reasons behind these austerities as well, because otherwise it's just meaningless. It becomes difficult if we don't understand the goal. So we have asadhana, and then we also have asadhya, or asadhya behind the sadhana there has to be asadhya. Sadhya means a goal or a direction. This is essential to actually maintain that sadhana, otherwise it's very difficult to maintain. So in this verse, it's saying that Brahma had a desire for creation to please the Lord. That was his sadhya, that was his goal. In the verse I just quoted from the Prajapatis, for Rishabdev's sons, the focus was devotional service. So that was their sadhya, and therefore they engaged in this very intense tapasya or sadhana to achieve that. And sometimes devotees ask, what austerities should I do? You know, what what extra can I do to please the Lord? But Prabhupada has given us a very specific set of austerities, and often he would actually chastise devotees if they were doing more. So sometimes if devotees were not wearing enough clothes, or they weren't wearing shoes, or they were sitting on the bare floor without a cushion or something, Prabhupada would actually say, you know, you're doing so much austerity already, you're doing enough already. And he would actually chastise them for that extra unnecessary austerity. So Prabhupada has given us a specific process, and live a Krishna conscious life. That's what Prabhupada is asking us to do. Don't try anything special or to be special. And sometimes we also engage in extra austerities to be a little bit special. And Radhanath Maharaj once said that if you're fasting on Ekadasi, but you're feeling very proud that I'm fasting and no one else is fasting, and you're looking down on others, he said it's better to eat and be humble than to fast. Actually, you make more advancement that way. So sometimes we're also engaging in these extra things, but the wrong motive is there behind it. And the fact is, if you're following the basics of Prabhupada's program, then you're already on a super high platform. And when you think about it, practically, when you look at the religious leaders of the world, practically none of them are following the four regulative principles. When you actually look at it, practically none of them are, let alone chanting 2 hours a day and things. So when you look at it, even a bhakta, new bhakta that comes in is on a super high platform of practice. Most religious leaders, they don't follow these things. So it's a very, already you're on a very high level. And Prabhupada said, rise early, chant your japa yagya. It's a yagya, it's an austerity, especially in the beginning. And if you want something to do, then try and sit down and chant 16 rounds in one go and bring the mind back each time. That can be an austerity. It's much more than just fasting or something extra. And on a few verses on, Prabhupada, in the same verse that I quoted, where Prabhupada said that an easy life and self-realization don't go together, in the same purport, it's a really nice purport. This is a few verses on from here. Prabhupada said that the order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows the principles rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. So Prabhupada is saying that by executing the order of the spiritual master, this is real austerity. No matter how painstaking it is for us, this is real austerity, to actually stick to the orders of the spiritual master. So following Prabhupada's program, what he's given us, that's the highest austerity, because we're sticking and we're chaste. And Prabhupada emphasized this, the spiritual master, so much. He emphasized practically in every purport you can read about the spiritual master, Prabhupada will mention somewhere. You know, Prabhupada changed it in the Gaudiya Math. I was mentioning this the other day, but in the Gaudiya Math, they start the morning, the Mangalati, they start with songs to Radha and Krishna about how they're waking up the lordships and how they're offering them arati and different services that they're rendering in the spiritual world. But Prabhupada introduced the prayers to the spiritual master. And so sometimes devotees in Gaudiya Math can't understand why. No, it doesn't make sense. They're waking up their lordships and it should be songs about that. And Prabhupada introduced prayers to the spiritual master. But that's what Prabhupada, because that was the emphasis Prabhupada was trying to give, this focus on Guru, and really sticking to that is actually the key to success in spiritual life. And what other austerities did Prabhupada prescribe? He prescribed also preaching and to give Krishna consciousness to others. That was also an austerity that he wanted us to engage in. In the Bhagavatam, there's a very famous verse. It says, Tapyante lokatapena sarva sarva prayasojana paramanandana paramaradanam tadi purushasyaya kilatmana. So great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. So really this is the way of pleasing the Lord and pleasing Prabhupada, is to stick to these things and also to preach and share that with others. There's a beautiful conversation at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita between Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya is saying to Haridas Thakur, he's saying that, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, I came and all of these souls, and there's so many souls that are not liberated. He said they're so absorbed in sense gratification. What's going to happen? This is Lord Chaitanya. And Haridas Thakur says this beautiful verse. He says, Prabhu Chintana Kodihe. He says, my Lord, don't worry. Yeah. So it's beautiful, this mood of the preacher of Haridas Thakur. He said, my Lord, don't worry. I'll take some of the burden. I'll help in your mission. And this is the mood of the preacher, is that Prabhu Chintana Kodihe, don't worry. It's a very high level to say to tell the Lord, my Lord, please don't worry. But and he goes on to explain how Lord Chaitanya has already liberated them all anyway. But this mood of being willing to take on some of the burden, to take on some of this austerity to spread and uplift others and preach Krishna consciousness. So in the purport, Prabhupada also talks, or he quotes the Lord wants, and this is a quote from the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord wants every one of his parts and parcels to attain eternal life and bliss by coming home to Godhead. The whole material creation is meant for that objective. So we also have to remind ourselves the meaning behind these penances. Prabhupada reminds us that Brahma had this penance to please the Lord. So we also have to, like I was talking before, a sadhya, a goal behind our penances. And this is ultimately why we're here. This is why we're in the material world, is to obtain that objective of going back home. This is the opportunity that we've been given. And this austerity is something we have to willingly engage in to please the Lord, to help us on that path. And later on, like Prabhupada says in the purport, it leads to bliss. It leads to bliss. So this same austerity, which in the beginning, you know, there's this famous verse in the Gita where in the beginning starts like poison, in the end it becomes like nectar. So it's the same with these austerities and these penances of Krishna consciousness, that the practice starts as an austerity, but eventually it becomes very, very sweet, very like just like nectar. And it sounds austere just for our life is meant for austerity. If you just say that to someone, it sounds awful. At least, you know, when you hear that, it's like, but when we understand the goal, and we hear, and that's why Prabhupada has so much stress. We have to hear about Krishna's pastimes. We have to hear about Vrindavan. We have to know what we're aiming for. And then it becomes an exciting process. Then it becomes an adventure. That these austerities, these sadhana that we're engaging in, is actually giving us access to something very special. And when you really think about it, it's very far out. You know, what we're being given access to, a whole new world, you know, the scriptures talk about interplanetary travel and all these personalities and UFOs and you know, so many things, and we're discovering who we really are. We're giving access to a new world which is made of spiritual matter. Everything there is conscious. So when you think about these things, you know, it's pretty amazing what we're being given access to. But it's easy for us to kind of get familiar. The scriptures talk of so many things, but very easy to get familiar with these things. You know, we read the books and we think it's just a story, or we think it's just something, kind of an allegory or something. But when you speak to Christians, they're so, and other groups as well, they're so, you know, they took Jesus' crucifixion so seriously that he really died for our sins. And they're so convinced and serious about that. But when you look at our scriptures, we also have similar examples of devotees giving so much sacrifice for the benefit of others, like you see Haridas Thakur. He got whipped in 21 mark, you know, he got almost beaten to death, but the Lord protected his life. But do we take that seriously to the same extent? You know, look at that austerity that Haridas went just to preach, just to give the holy name, and he got put through so much. Vasudev Datta, similarly, he prayed that, let me take all the sins of the universe, all of the entity, let me take all of their sins and just deliver them all. So he made this prayer. He was willing to completely sacrifice himself. We have so many personalities like that within our scriptures. But how seriously do we actually take it that they're doing that for us, you know? And when you speak to Christians and others, they're so convinced, wow, you know, he died for us, and this, I'm giving my life to Jesus because of that. So, yeah, I'm just meditating, how seriously do I take it, you know, when we hear of these? Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gauranitai Ki Jai. Yeah, just thinking for myself, do I actually take these things as seriously as they actually are? Or do we just take them as stories or something inspirational? You know, if the government leaks some files that talked about all these things that are talked about in our scriptures, like, you know, secret societies and UFOs and interplanetary travel and all these weapons of mass destruction on a subtle level and everything that our scriptures talk about, if the government like leaks some files like this, people would pay anything to get hold of them, you know, because it's so exciting, it's so interesting. And we have them. We have these secrets, we have these scriptures, but do we actually believe in them? Do we really value them for what they are? And when we do, it becomes so exciting, it becomes such an adventure, it becomes such a process of discovery that we have such an exciting journey that we're kind of uncovering what we have been given access to. And this penance leads us into deeper realizations and deeper contact with these things that are being talked about in the scriptures, deeper realizations of these personalities that have come. But we have to constantly remind ourselves of that kind of journey of discovery and that adventure that we're on. Then the inconvenience, the austerity, the penance becomes worth it, the temporary inconvenience. Yeah, and we see, and moving on a little bit, again on penance, but even in the perfected stage of someone's Krishna consciousness, even eternal associates of the Lord, they still perform penance. They still engage, although they don't have to, they still engage in austerities. But for them it's nectar, for them it's very pleasurable because it leads to Krishna. So we see examples, for example, Raghunath Das Thakur. You know, he lived for almost 50 years in Radhakund. He was like 46 or something years he lived in Vrindavan. And he was just crying. He was just sat there on the banks of Radhakund and meditating and praying and wondering when he would see the Lord, wondering when they would reveal themselves to him. And for 50 years he was doing that and feeling like I haven't attained it. And he was going through so much austerity to try and attain Krishna. You know, he'd drink one cup of buttermilk every day or every couple of days, just one small cup. And even when he took the buttermilk, he would recite this verse from Bhagavatam. He would say this verse, Atmanam ched vijaniyat param jnana dush tutashaya kim ichan kasya vahitor deham pushnati lampata. So when Raghunath Das would take his one cup of buttermilk, he would recite this verse. And this verse says, if one's heart is cleansed, perfect knowledge and understanding of Krishna comes into the heart, and he gains everything. Why should such a person act like a fool and try to maintain his material body very carefully? So why should someone act like a fool? And Raghunath Das would recite this when he was drinking one cup of buttermilk, thinking that he was acting like a fool and trying to maintain his material body. So incredible level. And, you know, so all the Goswamis were like this. You chant 64 rounds, 1,000 obeisances to Krishna, 3 hours of Gaura Katha every day, 3 baths in Radhakund, winter and summer. You know, he slept 2 hours. But he took that as his means to attain Krishna. And it was blissful for him because it led to Krishna. And even in Vrindavan itself, even in the spiritual world, we see that the devotees engage in austerities. For example, the gopis during the Katyayani Vrat, they took a bath early morning in the cold river. They would eat just khichdi once a day. The main austerity in the spiritual world is actually their separation from Krishna. That's their main tapasya. You know, when Krishna's leaving to herd the cows, then Mother Yashoda can't bear the separation, it's so intense. And she actually calls him back about 3 or 4 times, you know, you forgot your packed lunch, and she can't bear this separation. But when they finally go, then the cowherd boys are happy. Mother Yashoda is in distress. But the cowherd boys, they get to be with Krishna for some time, but then Krishna also goes home at some point, and then they're feeling this great separation. And then the family are happy again because they meet, and the cowherd boys and the gopis are also feeling separation, but then later on they get to meet Krishna at night. So constantly there's this separation, there's this austerity, I guess, and this is what Krishna puts them through. And even Vrindavan itself, village life is very simple. They cook in the summer heat, they churn butter. I don't know if any of you have actually tried churning butter. Anyone tried churning butter traditionally? Okay. We during lockdown, one devotee here, Gopinath, he was very fired up. He wanted to make ghee for the deities. So he, not this Gopinath, another Gopinath. He wanted to make ghee for Radha Gokulananda. So he took the milk, he made yogurt, and then he tried to churn the yogurt. And we were there in the kitchen for like 2-3 hours churning. And it's an austerity. And village life is simple like that, but it's blissful for them because they can be with Krishna. It's what Krishna likes, and this austerity becomes the highest ecstasy. It becomes this nectar, like it says in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Ramananda Sambhad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, "What's the biggest misery in the world?" Anyone know what Ramananda Roy said? What's the biggest misery in the world? What was Ramananda Roy's answer? Yeah, separation from the devotees. He said that's the biggest austerity, the biggest misery in the world. So Krishna is giving that experience of separation to his eternal associates, to his devotees, as a means to increase their attachment, and that's what austerity becomes in the final stages of Krishna consciousness. Is that separation builds to this attachment and love for Krishna. So kind of in conclusion, whether we're non-devotees living in the material world, whether we're starting to practice Krishna consciousness, whether we're advanced or whether we're perfect devotees or nitya siddhas, then everyone in all stages is going through some level of austerity, lots of it. And so really it's up to us what our consciousness is going to be behind that. No matter what situation we're going to be in, there's going to be a level of austerity, there's going to be a level of this tapasya. But it's up to us. What's our consciousness behind it? What's our goal behind it? And where is it leading us? Is it leading us to... This is verse Bhogashraya. At the end of the verse in the... Bhogashraya Gatim Prati. At the end of this verse in Gita. So it says that the non-devotees think there's nothing more than this. Bhogashraya, this material enjoyment. Gatim Prati, this is their life. But then Jiva Goswami writes a beautiful song. Radha Krishna Gatiya Mama. That Radha and Krishna are my life and soul. This is the goal of my austerities. In the Yugalastakam, he writes that. So it's up to us, the choice. Are we going to do our austerities for Krishna and for our spiritual life, for our understanding, or are we going to do it for sense gratification? And then it becomes, like I was saying, a great adventure when we understand the goal, when we understand that process is leading to that. Then we relish these austerities as an opportunity to please Krishna. Like it says in this verse, Brahma wanted to please Krishna through his austerities. He wanted to create. And when we do austerities and we perform our devotional practice in that mood, knowing what the goal is, understanding that this is going to please Krishna, then that it becomes exciting. It becomes a spiritual adventure. And like Prabhupada says in this purport, it leads to bliss. It leads back home, back to Krishna. So we'll finish there. If there's any questions or comments, then we can take them now. We have 5 minutes. Yes, Tirunafuva.
Anyway, just a comment about maybe we should make our books very secret. Then people will pay a fortune. Yeah. If it's obvious, nobody takes serious. As usually, right. It's like that, like austerity, it's chanting. Let's do something secret. Mm. So people like those secrets, you know, therefore those theories, they're making so many theories.
Yeah.
Obvious things they don't believe, but then they're making these wild theories. Anyway, this comes. Another one is like, why really through the pain only one can purge on himself from being in this material world? It's kind of like almost a little bit sadistic, you know. Like, see, like we are given this body full of strong senses, and entire creation is full of sense object which exactly match to our sense gratification. Now you're supposed to renounce, and only through pain you can achieve the self-realization. Krishna says in many places that he's happy that devotees renounce sense gratification. He's happy when somebody's austere and suffering for him. So no wonder that nobody likes austerities. We don't like austerities. Mm. But why only this? Why isn't better just have a balanced life, take whatever is there?
Because a balanced life, then we would never leave.
Another way to just be self-realized. Mm. Okay, we have nice life. But then this also leads to sense gratification. Yeah. We have to admit, all of us are full of shy mentality.
But that's what Prabhupada says in his purport, that's the goal of the material world, is to for us to get out of it. So if it was a nice life here, then if there was no none of this pain or austerity, then we wouldn't want to.
Why not just have a balanced life, like, you know?
If everything was balanced, then you wouldn't want to go.
Like, you know,
you'd be happy.
And then just to be attached, don't be attached to that, but it's some other way. Like that's what people look in spiritual life.
Yeah.
No any austerities, but some kind of balanced life.
Yeah.
Why pain on? Why like, this kind of? Would be nicer that this world is not so much varieties. For example, Lord Brahma, for him to renounce was easy. There's nothing to renounce, nothing to adopt.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. So for him, it was easy to achieve.
If Krishna just gave an easy process, it's just like a teacher in school, you know, if he just said, okay, all my students get A's, no matter what they do, then what's the use? They're never going to learn. You're never going to understand. But the teacher has to judge, and he has to give them, you know, grades accordingly. He has to change the process accordingly, because to help them grow, to help them actually understand that there's a certain level of achievement needed, they need to put in the work. So it's the same with Krishna. If he just gave a balanced life, and spiritual life is just balanced and mature, it was just easy, then there wouldn't be any progress. There wouldn't be any...
This world, if there is no variety, it would be much easier for self-realization. So it would be much easier job.
Yeah, and in other ages it is. For example, Satya Yuga is very easy, but again, in other ages it is, right? So in Satya Yuga, it's a much easier process. Or not easier, but the whole atmosphere makes it very pleasant, but then it takes a long, long time. And sometimes people also get distracted. But in Kali Yuga it's very difficult, but we can do it in a very short time by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Yeah, it's like gold on a black, like Prabhupada says, like gold on a black surface stands out much more than gold on a gold surface. So in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya in this process is gold on a black surface of Kali Yuga. It's very difficult, but it shines, it stands out. Yeah, there's a few other points. Yes, Prabhu, and then Persian Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. You were talking about, you know, one may perform austerity like fasting on Ekadasi, but that may not be as important as just sitting down and chanting your 16 rounds in one go. Mm. So how do we know what austerities to prioritize? And also, could you give some tips for sitting down and chanting in one go? Because I've been trying to do that for a while.
Yeah, I think the austerities to prioritize is, like I was saying, is the austerities that Prabhupada specifically set for us. So chanting 16 rounds, following the four regs, waking up early in the morning, preaching, all these things that Prabhupada specifically, explicitly told us to do. And then anything above that is extra. It can help us for sure, but anything above that is not, shouldn't be our focus. And in terms of chanting, I'm not necessarily qualified to speak on it. There's so many devotees, so many seminars on how to chant nicely. But yeah, I guess we just have to think that this is a yagya also. And this is, you know, it talks in the Bhagavad Gita, this japa yagya. This is an offering, it's a yagya. So it should be, especially in the beginning, it shouldn't just be an easy, you know, we're not going to get into the relishing the holy name and all of the things that the acharyas speak about. Initially, it's a yagya. We've got to sit there and really bring the mind back. And when we think about it in that way, then it's okay. I'm sitting here. This is my yagya this morning, and I'm just going to sit here and really try and bring the mind back and go through it. And it's going to be austere, but this is a yagya. This is a sacrifice. This is an austerity that I'm going to perform. And over time, then it becomes more and more relishable. And I'm not there, but acharyas and devotees explain that it becomes easy, it becomes part of our meditation. And my spiritual master was saying the other day, sometimes it's good to have intense exposure to it. For example, taking some days where you chant 64 rounds or something, and then you realize that, you know, 16 rounds is just the beginning, and your mind actually starts to, after so many rounds, your mind actually starts to naturally kind of settle down and hear the holy name and be controlled. And that gives you an insight into how to properly chant. Yes, there's Prajan Vu and then Mataji. It's 8:30, so if anyone needs to leave for services or breakfast, you can.
Just one thing occurs to me. There's a nice saying of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Mm.
He says, I became supremely happy knowing that I no longer belong to myself. And this is a wonderful meditation, actually, because that Krishna says in the 435 Bhagavad Gita, he says that having obtained this knowledge, this is the where we surrender to the spiritual master. He says, having obtained this knowledge, you will never again return to this material life. For by this knowledge, you will learn that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, and they belong to me. And that's it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying this sort of thing, that actually we belong to each other. We're all part and parcel of the Supreme. And so we should engage ourselves in, Radhanath Swami put the most wonderful three-minute talk recently, how that actually we should appreciate what we've got, but also that we belong to each other in our austerities on getting to know each other. It just takes time. And this is the perseverance. And also the greatest austerity is being without service. That is the greatest pain, actually. Because when you have it taken away, then you know pain.
Thank you for that comment. Yeah, that was Mataji, and then we'll come.
Haribol, your simplicity is very astonishing. I wondered if you can comment more on this aspect of just not making things too complicated for yourself, because I do experience that occasionally I overthink, or simply there are limitations, and that's that if I kind of go too hard on myself by, you know, kind of dwelling on that, it could be very unhelpful, and it makes things more complicated than necessary. So how do you keep that, how do you keep things simple? what is like the importance of that, maybe?
Yeah, Prabhupada would often say it's, sometimes it's so simple you might miss it. So sometimes we also get into the idea that there has to be something more, you know, I have to, because in the material world we have to go through so many things to get something, and then we're told we can just chant and dance and feast and you'll attain Krishna. Then it doesn't quite click. We feel like there should be more processes and mechanisms, and sometimes we artificially try to create those just to help balance the mind. And sometimes kind of things can be useful to help, but ultimately the process is that we just have to chant attentively and follow the process of Prabhupada. And that's what I was quoting, this purport that Prabhupada is saying, that the real austerity is just to execute the orders of the spiritual master. However painstaking, Prabhupada says, however painstaking that is, however severe, we just try to execute that order. So if we don't have a spiritual master, we have Prabhupada at least, and he's given very specific orders of what we should do, how we should follow the process. And so if we can stick to that, then it becomes very simple. But we struggle to stick to it because we feel like we need to make up some things and we need a bit of variety. And but yeah, that's real. That's the real austerity of a devotee, is to stick. Like in the prayers to Prabhupada, in the morning we say, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. So the Sanskrit is the, not Sanskrit, but Bengali, but the Guru Mukha Padma Vakya is the, let me take the words from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master, Chitete Koriya Aikya, and make them one with my heart. And so that should be the meditation. Each morning, let me take your words, Prabhupada, and make them one with my heart. Let me take the words of my spiritual master and make them one with my heart. And make that our goal. And then life becomes simple, if we can do it. But it's not so easy to do it.
Haribol.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
There's one more here, and then we'll finish. Oh, sorry, everyone. You had a comment on that? Yeah, but we'll just have a quick comment on that point.
Yeah, so we have to understand what's the real purpose of austerity. he was saying to please Krishna. And he's softened the heart. So if by performing our austerities our heart's not becoming softened, and we're not developing that affection to Krishna, and also with the devotees, then maybe we're performing too much austerity.
Yeah.
It may have the opposite effect. We become, we put too many high goals in front of us, and we can't achieve those goals, and we become resentful and frustrated. And then the opposite happens, the heart becomes hard. And so then we only need to perform the austerities which are necessary, which enable us to develop some affection to Krishna, soften the heart.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, chanting 16 rounds and following the four regs is the minimum. And there's so many other things that we should be doing, like preaching, going out in Sankirtan. One day going out in Sankirtan on the street is like performing thousands of years of austerities.
Yeah.
Really, in Satya Yoga. So we don't need to do so many other things. So, yeah, we need to do, all that.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, that's what Radhanath Maharaj is saying, this, what I quoted, how he said that if we're fasting on Ekadasi but we become proud or there's an ulterior mood, then better to be humble and just eat and keep life simple, you know. Because that, like you said, that softness of heart, that humility, that's what really wins Krishna, not these severe austerities, not this tapasya. That doesn't, Krishna doesn't care, you know, he wants love, he doesn't want austerity.
So, Hare Krishna. I don't have quite an... as deep a comment as some of the others, but it was one comment I made. When you mentioned how Prabhupada introduced singing Sri Sri Guru Vashtaka Mangalarati, and I just wanted to comment how it is that she's still bona fide, because in the, there's a, for those who may not know, there's a supplementary ninth verse to the song. I'll just read the translation. One who, with great care and alteration, loudly recites this beautiful prayer to the spiritual master during the Brahma Muhurta, obtains direct service to Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, at the time of his death. So here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like, it just shows that this song is meant, also can be sung at Mangalarati. Yeah. So it's in that way.
Yeah, we never jump over. We always go through. That's the process. Never, Prabhupada said, never jump over. Yeah. Never jump over Guru and Gora. That's the process through. And this is famous verse, yata yata gaura padada vinde vindata bhaktim krita punya rasi tatata tot sarpati hridakasmad radha parambodra shalambodasi, that through Lord Chaitanya we reach Radha and Krishna. Only through Lord Chaitanya we can actually reach Radha and Krishna. Through the Guru, through Gora, through and then to Krishna. We can't go directly. Thank you for that comment. Okay, I think we should finish. We've gone 10 minutes over. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari.